I love it when God takes scripture that you know, and sometimes you kind of understand the meaning, and but when God really puts it in place, and you say, "Oh, that's what that means." This morning, just sitting back there, I was dusting off the limb of my suit, and I looked down, and it looks like I've been shot with a shotgun. I have holes all in my suit or my pants. I don't know where they came from. I guess in Matthew 6:20. You know, do not store yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust destroy. I have no rust on my suit, but I do have, I guess, moth holes. Or, I'm assuming those black crickets. Has that been a problem for anybody besides me? I find them all over my clothes, and they seem like holes are in my clothes. That's what it is. This morning, we are going to look at the state of the youth. Now, I'm the youth minister here, and I'm the youth and family member minister, actually. And so this is a time this morning that I like to take and just look at our youth program, see what is working well, to see where we need encouragement, see where we need some help. I was thinking about this because this is kind of a mock, if you will, off the State of the Union address that the president will give in January. Mine's in the fall. Imagine if ministers had a campaign, or youth ministers had a campaign for their jobs. That would be quite an election day, wouldn't it? But nonetheless, I'm here, and what I call my State of the Youth address. And like I said, this is a time for us to reflect on where we're going. And the elders, the youth program, is as far as the elders. And our deacons would be Byron Rudd, Chesterfield, Scott Phillips, actually are involved in teaching class after school program. He teaches figuring out logistics and stuff like that. And I for these men. So if you want to have one. And I actually have another deacon who can his way into the youth program a little bit. And I'm especially grateful for Don Walker. He was a big help this past weekend. Friday night, many of our youth went to Evansville, Indiana. And Don was our chauffeur. And it just helps as a youth minister to have somebody who's willing to drive our kids and drive the bus. So I'm really, very grateful for the leadership that we have. Any issues that I have, I go to these men, and they're there, and they give that support. And that's huge for our youth program. By the numbers, this is something that we do every year. I go through the little roster of what makes up our congregation. And for the infants, we have four infants who were born. There were several born last year. Five through second grade. We have 9 children there. The third through fifth grade is 18. And we're going to have like 6 or 7 more who are going to be going up into the middle school next year. So you can kind of see where our numbers there, where they're kind of going in droves there. In the middle school, we have 13. High school, we have 8. One thing you don't see on there, and I'm not sure why, of 73 children. It was supposed to take 300 members. I guess that's kind of a subjective number of our members. If you go by Mark's numbers or the numbers in the office. So I go with 300, because that's kind of where I like to see Mark wear a pink shirt. So if we get it 300, this is what this number is based off of. 73 kids of 300, I believe, equals, I think it was 24% of the congregation. So 24%, if we have 300 members here on average, is 24% of our congregation. Now, we have 11 college students. So if you take that 11 and add it to the 73, I believe that's 28% of 300. That's pretty good numbers. And if you really look at it, what it means is, with the young children, we've had families or young individuals to go off to college, get married, and come back, and they're settling back here at this congregation, and they're having children. And so that's kind of where a lot of our young families, where those numbers come from. And so that's very important to know that we have this many children. Hey, Jeff, would you mind turning this mic down, please? Last year, we had 3 baptisms. We had Sydney Temple, we had Pamela Ross, and Seth Janice last year. 3 were out of the church. Last year we had several, And so that's good that we keep seeing our young individuals becoming Christians and adding Jesus as their Savior and believing in Him and confessing Him and becoming part of the church. And here's the great thing is, as these young individuals, these young people are coming to Christ, they're getting active and they're getting involved. Not just necessarily in class or going to youth trips, they're wanting to do other things. We're starting to see some of our young men come up here and lead songs and lead singing, and we know that some of them go to preaching camps and they come back and they give songs, and they give sermons, I mean. Okay, our education program. Education program, Jones. Jeff is the deacon over that. We have Jobeth Jones, who is over the toddlers and cradle row. The second through 2 through 5 year olds is Joni Morgan, and the K through third grade is Charlotte Henson. 4 through 5th is Haley Chambers. This is why I believe. Well, let me back up there. The last 2 or 3 years, we have added a whole new curriculum to our education system. We've had several individuals spend countless hours preparing that material. We got some equipment that's going to help us to prepare that material. We spent a lot of money in that area, and the system that we have in place is very efficient, and it works, and it's easy to teach. The curriculum that we have is wonderful for teachers. It's all there, and it's laid out for you, and it's very easy to teach and use. But here's the issue. Each year, it seems like we have to beg and ask you guys to teach. That's an issue. I know that we have individuals who have not been in a class for themselves in over a year because they are teaching our children, and there's no relief, there's no substitute, causing burnout. So who do? We are going to provide relief for those people. It is important that all of us come here to learn every time we come here. We come here and feel like all of us to be encouraged and learn about God. Couples, if you're a parent and your child's in third or fifth grade or kindergarten, you teach. If you feel like you cannot teach by yourself, we encourage two people to go into a classroom, one to be the monitor and one to teach, or vice versa. Couples, you can teach together, but we got to have some relief here, and this is very, very important. So I believe that you guys are going to rise to the occasion and do what's necessary there to provide that relief for some of our teachers who do need that help. And this is a good thing. Our education program, that's kind of where we're lacking, but it's doing extremely, extremely well. All right, our Kids First program. Kids First program, the deacon over that is Jason Jones. And if you're not familiar with the Kids First program, it's right over here. They take up the front part of the building. They go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And Stacy Luce is the director over that. We have several teachers from our congregation who's a part of that ministry. It's Linda, Janet, Kim Ross, Laurie Redd, Michelle Tynes is here with us. I believe this is her second year. Joni Morgan, who's a member at Calvert City. So these ladies, they're young. Sorry. Please invite me to Thanksgiving dinner on Wednesday. I want to go. These ladies do an incredible job. And they are teaching some of our children and children who have no affiliation with this church about God, and they're able to do lots and lots of wonderful things. If you haven't been to that program or seen that program, I believe they have a Christmas special coming up here next month, and that's a wonderful thing. As a matter of fact, there's going to be a lot of families from those children here, and we as a congregation need to support that, and we need to get to know this congregation. 88 students enrolled and 72 last year, and what that tells me is the program's working. Stacy indicates there's a waiting list to even get inside this program. And if you come out here during the day, you know that up and down the halls, the place is full of kids. You go into our gym, and you can see all the toys and all the tables in there. That gym is probably one of the biggest used rooms that we have. It's not there to play, but it serves a purpose. And so that's a wonderful thing that our ladies are doing with the Kids First program. The after-school program. The after-school program, the deacon over that is Corey Westerfield. Corey works with me every day there. If you can say I'm the director, I work there. I just kind of help out, and I make sure things are in place, that we have staff, and Corey and I actually head that up together, but nonetheless, I'm there every day, and we have 65 students, and really about all we can take is about 60, or all we need to take. The reason why we take 65 is you know, there's a brother or somebody that keeps getting added, and so our numbers keep getting pushed up. And this is a great, great, great ministry. The way I like to describe it when people ask me, well, what is your after-school program about? Is it a daycare? I said, no, it's really not a daycare. I said, to me, it's like a VBS every day. You get the kids, we make sure they do their homework when they get off the bus. We give them a snack. We let them do a little playing. We teach them about God, and then a little recess. And that 2 hours is jam-packed. We have a lot of good kids. And you've heard me say this before, there's kids who do not go to church anywhere, and this is their place because they recognize this as a place where God is. And they say, well, I'll go there. And so that's a wonderful ministry that we have. And I'm going to talk more about that later on, but one of the things that I believe helps us out the most, and it helps the families out and the kids out, is the fact that we have volunteers that come in there to make sure these kids do their homework, and that is an important role. The parents want their kids' homework done before they get home, and it's just hard for me to get in there and do it by myself. So we have Mary Lou comes in and helps, Joette, and Sherry Woodruff. And I thank you ladies very, very much. And y'all have been with us for many years now, and I'm telling you, it could not be done without you. I'm greatly appreciative for you. All right, so get into some of the things that we do annually. This year, this will be our second year, we're going to do Evangelism University. And this is not a youth rally, it's actually the furthest thing from it. And this is going to be for our high school students. And Evangelism University, what it does, it teaches young folks how to study with other teenagers about God. It's far from a youth rally. They go in there, it's pretty intense. They go into classes, and they're learning how to teach other people about God. They're learning techniques, or they're learning how to not be uncomfortable or not feel awkward, but just be proud that you're a Christian and be able to teach people. And so this is going to be in January. I believe it's a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday morning. There's no cost. But I need to know if you want to go by December 23rd. And that's for all high school students. Next up is we have our annual CYC trip. And this is becoming a heavy favorite for us. And this is why I love the bus. Because otherwise we would take many, many, many vehicles down there. But this is in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And this is a youth rally. This is where thousands of kids from all over the United States get together and they worship God, and we have speakers come in, and we have lots and lots and lots of kids that come there or go there from here. The cost is going to be $75 per person, and this is fun because we have to miss school on Friday to make sure that we get there in time to get into our rooms and then get to the facility to make sure that we're there for the first session. The deadline is December 23rd because I have to know we can get some $10 off a ticket. So we need to make sure that we have the numbers taken care of and the rooms are taken care of. And that's February 22nd to 24th. And that also includes chaperones. Parents, if you know that you're wanting to go to this, please let me know. Try to make that schedule open in your work schedule. So just so that we can have all the tickets and stuff taken care of. Bible Bowl next year. Bible Bowl is being hosted by us again, and it's over the Gospel of John, and Jason's heading this up. And that's going to be April 21st, I believe, at 1 p.m. at North Marshall Middle School. Is that correct? I'm pretty sure. And here's what we need. Last time we hosted it, 3 years ago, it was here, and so we were able to have, we kind of understood the program and how things were going to operate. Now that it's in the classroom, it's going to be different. This is what we need. We need question writers. If you're willing to take the Gospel of John and write questions appropriate to the age group, please see Jason, because about 600 questions need to be written, and each test for different age groups is going to look different. So you might ask a harder question here versus a kindergartner. So we need question writers. If you're willing to do that, please go see Jason. We need people who are going to be there to welcome all the different congregations coming in, pointing the way. This is where this is going to be. You need to go see them. We need people to, when they come in, to make sure everything, all the paperwork signed, make sure the students are checked in. We need people who are going to grade the test. When the tests are all complete, they'll take it to a Scantron machine and just sit there and just watch that machine work. But somebody has to man it, and we need help doing that. We're going to need help when the actual test is being taken. Somebody has to sit in the room with the children and read that test to them. That way, if there's any questions, they can maybe not give them the answer, but help them to take those tests. It's going to require a lot of us to make sure that this goes down very successfully. So we'll be talking more about that, but please, please get involved in that. Next up is our VBS, Vacation Bible School. It's all, the day is set, the theme is set, and we have a lot of things in place. It's going to be under the big top, May 19th and 22nd. We're going to try to do that at the end of the school year. I believe that's just a couple of days before the school. And the reason why we did that is because really no other time works. And so, and another reason why we want to do that is because our kids first, and our after-school kids, they're used to coming here, they're used to being in the system here, and so we want to make sure that we can serve them and that they have a chance and opportunity to come here. So mark it in your calendars, put it down, and beginning of the year, we're going to be fleshing that out a little bit more and assigning topics and teachers to that. Work camp. Work camp is, of course, y'all know about work camp. This is where the area congregations in Marshall County all get together. The youth from there, they decide that they're going to build houses. Raise your hand if you've ever been a part of youth of work camp. Raise it up high. Own it. All right. So several of y'all, we have older and younger folks who are a part of it. And this has been going on for many years. Many houses have been painted. And 3 years ago, we went and did some tornado relief work and when the tornado hit Joplin. So this year, we're going to continue to do that. There's the dates, June the 2nd, usually the first week of June. But we need more adults. We need a good representation from the Benton Church of Christ. We have a few men who come, but we need more. A lot of these kids, for some reason, find ways to paint themselves. And so we need somebody to be a good role model and a mentor and show them how to get the paint in the crevices. Okay, next up is camp. How many of you have ever been to WKYC? Yeah, okay. As the years go on, it seems like the face of camp is changing. This past year, camp has installed a septic system. The state health inspector said, if you want to have camp this year, you need, which was this past summer, you need to be coming up with plans to having a new septic system. It has to be installed. As a matter of fact, the work is being done now. And it started out being almost a $300,000 project. And with help and effort of different members, we've narrowed it down to about $60,000. And we sent a check of $1,000 to help with that program as the church at large. So here's the camp week that we're going to go to is Chip Palmer's week. Chip Palmer's Week is going to set beginning, I believe it's a Saturday, June the 8th to the 14th, which is a Thursday, Friday. And then another week that I also would encourage our teenagers to go to is what we call Teen Week. And that's headed up by Alan Bush out of Evansville, Indiana, the Washington Avenue congregation. Here, let me encourage you to get your applications in early, especially for Chip Palmer's Week. 3 years ago, when we started Chip Palmer's Week, we had 60-something kids. It went from 80-something kids to last year, it went to about 130. And we're talking about it selling out. So parents, hear me on this. If you wait, more than likely, there's a possibility your child will not get to go. So as soon as that date opens in March, where you can start submitting your applications, get those in, especially for the Chip Palmer's Week, because it's predicted to sell out, and we got more congregations coming to support that week. Okay, next up is Labor Day Camp. Right there back at camp again. This is something that it's always been a part of the Benton congregation, from what I understand, but as of lately, it's catching a lot of momentum. We're getting a lot of families up there. This is just a great way for us to have some camaraderie, get up there and share stories and laugh at each other, and the best part is I think we have some pretty good eating up there, too. So I encourage you to get up there for Labor Day camp. That's a great place where you can just take your family up there, spend time with your family, also with other Christians. And let me encourage you to do that. What we're going to do next year as a youth program is what we call the midsummer retreat. And this is going to be right before school starts, probably 2 weeks before school starts, where it's nice and hot. This is something we've done in the past. I believe it was 3 or 4 years ago. We're going to go to a place called Horns Creek. It's a resort that sits down in the mountains of Ocoee, Tennessee. And there, your child has to be in middle school or high school. So if they're coming into middle school, that's fine. This next year, when school sessions is over, if they're going to middle school, I am okay with them going. And the reason that being is, this is a chance for them to get to be a part of the youth program. This is like an introduction into the youth program, if you will. But they're going to be challenged by their spirit, mind, and body. We're going to have many, many great activities. We're going to do 2 float trips, and we're going to need some chaperones for this. And this is really a great way. This will be themed out. We'll have ways that the children will grow with God with that as well over that weekend. Moving on. This is what I envision for the youth program at the Benton Church of Christ. This is I'm completing my 5th year as the youth and family minister here. And this is what I would like to see. Number one is I want to see us minister to the families of the Kids First and After School program. For some reason, I feel like I wouldn't say dropping the ball, but I feel like we're not utilizing the people and the families that we can minister to that God has given us. And I'm really at a loss on how to do it, so I need your help. It's not so much of, you know, I'm really not sure what to do, but I know that we have many, many people here who are not affiliated with any church anywhere, or probably don't go to church, and they're coming here, and I hope we're not just providing a service. The Kids First program is service. Well, let somebody else do that. We're providing a ministry. It's not a bait and switch either. The idea is we're going to minister to families and young folks while providing these things. Involved with these families, some sort, maybe that's my job, but I don't feel like we're utilizing what God has given us there. He's given us many families and many hearts to touch, and we need to be reaching out to them. We need to be teaching our kids to trust and navigate through the Bible. Not that we're not doing that, but what it looks like is this. This is God's roadmap. This is God's sword, if you will. And Lonnie Jones came here a few years ago and he said, guys, you can give a child a sword, but unless he knows how to use it, it's just a piece of steel. As a church body, we need to be teaching our kids the scriptures. They need to know God's word, but they need to know how to find it. They didn't know how to open God's Word up and know where to look. It's just instead of saying, well, I'm feeling down, I feel away from God, let me just open it up and start reading. They didn't be able to say, where can I find the stories of hope? Where can I find the story of salvation? If they want to teach their friends about becoming a Christian, they should be able to know how to navigate this. And that's what we're doing, and we're going to continue to do that. But the reason I said that is because we have a lot of young folks. A lot of young folks are coming up, and they need to know how to use this Bible. We need spiritual grandparents, and we need spiritual aunts and uncles. And what that looks like is this. This past year, I encouraged us to do the Year of Prayer. Beginning in January, the first Sunday in January, I had envelopes back there on that table, and I asked you to go back there and grab an envelope. Inside that envelope was the child's name and age, and I asked you to pray for that child daily. And guess what? You have. I wish I could stand up here this morning and tell you some of the stories that I've heard. Many wonderful stories have come out of this. People are actually engaging prayer with God over a child they may not know. The church body at large is what youth ministers call the extended family. Now, you may have aunts and actual aunts and uncles and grandparents here, but those who sit across the aisle who are not affiliated blood-wise, you are what they call the extended family. You're the spiritual aunts and uncles and cousins or whatever. And here's the great thing. I want us to continue to do that, because I think we're doing a wonderful job with that. I see in the hallway of people just taking time and cutting up with the kid or just encouraging them. And we need that done with every child here. And that's a great and wonderful thing. We need to continue to see families that are dedicated to the Lord and His ministry. I envision a lot of chaperones. I need help with parents coming and being a part of the ministry. When we take a trip, I need parents. You know, your child may not want you there, but other children want you there. And so whenever we have something coming up, please volunteer as a parent and chaperone. We're going to talk more about that in just a second. I'm going to ask Doug Wiles to come up. And he, as an elder of his church, I'm going to ask him for a prayer of blessing over our families and our youth program. And I'll come back up here and offer the invitation.
Would you pray with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Father, of the blessings that you have bestowed upon the families of this congregation and on this congregation as a whole. We're thankful for our youth. We're so blessed, Father, and we pray that you will help us to see to the needs of all of those that are involved in our youth through the education, through the Kids First, through the after school, and in all the various ways and activities that they're engaged in this congregation. We pray, Father, for our babies. We pray that they would be nurtured and brought up, Father, in a way that they would know that anything that in their life, that they'll be able to turn unto you and to seek the answers to the questions that they have. For our young students, those that are involved in preschool, and Father, we pray that you continue to be near their hearts. We pray for our middle school, high school, and for those of you to look into them, examples of godliness portrayed in them. Help us, Father, as you continue to bless us with wisdom, that we will guide them, that we will be an example unto all of these, and that we will seek opportunities that you have presented to us, and help them, Father, to be brought up and to be taught, so that your name be glorified and that they will dedicate their lives unto you. There have been individuals, Father, that have been named this morning, and we're so thankful for each of them, for all of those deacons that work in these ministries. We pray, Father, for all the Bible school teachers, all those that chaperone, all those that contribute financially. And Heavenly Father, we just pray that through the dedication of our adults, that the realization of a true family of believers in you will be brought forth through this congregation and these works. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, of so many that are doing so much, and we continue to ask for wisdom on their behalf and guidance. And we're so thankful for Travis and his dedication. We're thankful that you brought him our way, that you continue to bless him with energy and perseverance. Help us, Father, to be a resource for him, and help us to be there for the things that he needs. Help us to be available to teach the Bible classes of our youth, and help us to continue to stay engaged. And we know, Father, just as your son Jesus said, "Bring the little children unto me," that we need to open our arms in this congregation and let the children come unto us and learn more about thee. Continue to bless everyone, Father, as we work, and those children that we've been praying for all year long. Help us to be mindful to continue to do that as we see much fruit from that endeavor. Continue to bless us and be with us is our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
In 1 Samuel, as Aaron read a moment ago, we have a story of a lady named Hannah. Really, she is the subject of this chapter 1. She is unable to have a child, and she is ridiculed by her husband's wife. And the part that Aaron read is that she goes up each year, as the family does, to worship God at the tabernacle. And she really just doesn't want to be a part of it because of the harassment that she's receiving from this other wife. And so she goes and she prays, and Eli thinks that she's drunk, and she says, "No, I'm not drunk. I'm actually messed up in spirit. I'm not right now, and I'm really trying to talk to God about how I'm feeling inside." And of course, we know that her husband tried to comfort her and says, "Well, you know, you've got me. You don't need anything else. You don't need children." He didn't understand her desire to have a child. It was such an important thing as a lady of a Hebrew to have a child and be able to provide that for her husband. And it got to her. And we know that Eli blessed her. But I want you to see here, look with me in 1 Samuel chapter 1. In verse 21 it says, the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer the Lord yearly sacrifice to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as this child is weaned, I will bring to him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." We know that Hannah did have a child. His name was Samuel. And when it was time came for one of these years to go up, for the family to go up and offer that sacrifice and eat part of that sacrifice in a meal, she stood back because she said, "When the time comes, I'm going to bring him and present him to God in the ministry there." And we know that later on, Hannah did go up. And she presented Samuel to the Lord. And I want to read that portion to you real quick. In verse 27, it says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him." In verse 28, it says, "Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And they worship the Lord there together. What we see there is a mother who wanted more than anything a child. And God blessed her with that child. And what does she do? She, in return, gives him back to the Lord. As families, as young people who, like myself, who have children, it is very important that we see we need to dedicate our children to the Lord. I'm not talking about sending him or sending your child to a youth rally. That's not what I'm talking about. But making sure that your child is in front of Scripture, that your child is in front of other Christians who can come here and sing together and give that support and declare that God is one and that Jesus Christ is a Savior. That's dedicating your child and making sure that he can grow up knowing Scriptures and knowing that Jesus Christ came to this earth. But here's the catch. Hannah never could have dedicated Samuel to the Lord if she herself wasn't connected. If we as parents are not connected to God, not connected into the ministry, not connected to the headquarters up top, how can we ever expect our children to follow our example and get there one day? We as families need to make sure that we ourselves are laying the blueprint for our children. We need to make sure that we are connected. And when we're connected, we can dedicate our children to God. And I would encourage you, if your child shows signs of wanting to become a minister one day, encourage them. We need more ministers of this church. I'm talking about real ministers. We're all ministers, but full-time ministers. So here's my challenge to you. Are you willing to dedicate your child to the Lord? Have you made that? Have you prayed that in your prayers as a parent? Could you give your child to the Lord as Hannah did? Totally give it away to the support of the ministry. Think about it. A lot of people in the Bible, Mary dedicated her child to the Lord Jesus. It was Jesus. But she recognized her relationship with God and how important it was to make sure that our children will be in front of God. It's very important that we give and that we belong to the Lord and our families. If you yourself are not a Christian, could you dedicate your life to the Lord? Could you say that I am done? I am done living my life the way I want. I'm tired of following my plan for the way I think my life should go. And you know you need to give your life to the Lord. And that's dedicating yourself, following Him, following a new life in Christ. Are you willing to dedicate yourself to the Lord and putting Him on as your Savior so that your sins will be forgiven and that you become washed away and you rise up in the church and you can be added to the body and become a part of this ministry? It's a wonderful thing. This morning I want to encourage you, if you need to dedicate anything to the Lord, I encourage you to do that now while we stand and sing.